Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. It's August 8th, 2022. Welcome to The Quadcast. Let's dive in. First up, peer pressure. We all know that insurance coverage tends to lag well behind development of new treatment techniques. While we may consider many techniques used to treat prostate cancer relatively standard in clinical practice, that doesn't mean insurance policies cover those techniques. This study evaluated 83 major commercial insurance policies across all states in the U.S. and the District of Columbia to determine whether they covered three relatively recently developed techniques: IMRT for low-volume metastatic disease, rectal hydrogel spacer, and flucyclovine PET CT. These were also selected because they are covered by Medicare and comply with NCCN guidelines. IMRT for low-volume metastatic disease wasn't specifically addressed in policies covering 27 states. It was considered medically necessary in 17 states, and it was considered not necessary in 7 states. Rectal hydrogel spacer was considered not necessary in 22 states, necessary in just 9 states, mixed coverage in 8 states, and there was no specific policy in 12 states. Finally, for flucyclovine PET, there was coverage in all states, but this was mostly determined by PSA level. PSA had to be at least 2 in 9 states and at least 1 in 17 states, and there was no minimum PSA in 7 states. In the rest, there was mixed coverage or no specific policy. Importantly, coverage of these indicated techniques and procedures was most restrictive among insurance carriers that used utilization management companies such as AIM and EviCore. The bottom line is, a major factor limiting patients' access to standard treatments and techniques for prostate cancer is the highly variable and inconsistent coverage by commercial insurance companies across the U.S. Thanks to Shin, Red Journal, 2022. Up second, watch and learn. Does surveillance imaging improve survival for patients with local regionally advanced breast cancer? Last week, we learned that an intensive follow-up schedule detected more recurrences but didn't significantly increase survival among women with surgically resected endometrial cancer. This study asked whether asymptomatic detection of recurrent breast cancer leads to better survival outcomes. In contrast to TOTEM, this wasn't a prospective trial, but it did include a large random sample of greater than 10,000 patients treated for stage 2 to 3 breast cancer in 2006 and 2007 across greater than 1,200 Commission on Cancer centers that contribute data to the NCDB. Oncology registrars at each site abstracted clinical records to determine if any imaging that was performed was done for surveillance or for specific signs or symptoms. Among 9,560 patients with adequate recurrence information, 1,220 developed recurrence, or just under 13%. The 5-year recurrence rate was 22% for triple-negative breast cancer, 14% for HER2-positive, and 10% for hormone receptor-positive HER2-negative. Far more recurrences were detected with imaging performed for symptoms, at 77%. Than with asymptomatic surveillance imaging, 23%. Among patients with triple-negative breast cancer and HER2-positive breast cancer, the risk of death was significantly lower if their recurrences were detected by asymptomatic surveillance rather than symptomatic imaging. However, there was no reduction in the risk of death among those with hormone receptor-positive, HER2-negative breast cancer. The bottom line is, subgroups of patients with high-risk breast cancer may benefit from more intensive surveillance imaging rather than symptom-based imaging after primary treatment. Thanks to Schumacher, JNCI, 2022. Up next, All In. Black men are underrepresented in clinical trials of PSA screening for prostate cancer. In the classic PLCO trial, for example, less than 5% of participants were Black. This large, retrospective cohort study from the VA sought to determine the prostate cancer mortality benefit of PSA screening in a much more racially diverse population. It included greater than 45,000 men diagnosed with prostate cancer, with a whopping 31% that were non-Hispanic Black. Across the study period, 5.4% died of prostate cancer and 4.4% died of other causes. The rate of PSA screening as a continuous variable prior to diagnosis was independently associated with a reduced risk of prostate cancer-specific mortality. Black men derived just as much benefit as white men from PSA screening, with hazard ratios of just under 0.6. Among Black men who had screening, the cumulative incidence of prostate cancer-specific mortality was lower in those who had annual screening compared to those who had less than annual screening, 5 versus 7%. That difference was not observed among white men. This suggests Black men may benefit from more intensive PSA screening. The bottom line is, this large VA study suggests Black men benefit just as much as white men from PSA screening, with a significant reduction in the risk of prostate cancer-specific mortality. Thanks to Shearer, JAMA Oncology, 2022. Up next, definitive. What are the outcomes for definitive chemoradiation for locally advanced esophageal squamous cell carcinoma? The single-arm JCOG-0909 study was designed to evaluate outcomes for definitive chemoradiation with surgical salvage in this population. 94 patients with stage 2 and stage 3 esophageal squamous cell carcinoma received 2 cycles of cisplatin and 5-FU, along with 50.4 gray in 28 fractions, with an additional 2 cycles of chemo for those who had good response. Overall, 59% of patients had a complete response. Salvage endoscopic resection was performed in 5%, while 27% had salvage surgery. Overall survival at 3 years was an encouraging 74%. So chemoradiation with salvage surgery is an effective approach for patients with esophageal squamous cell carcinoma who refuse initial surgery. Thanks to Taguchi, Red Journal, 2022. Up next, here to stay. With rare, overwhelming bipartisan support, the House voted 416-12 to extend the Advancing Telehealth Beyond COVID-19 Act of 2021 until the end of 2024, allowing for billable telehealth, including audio only, with patients in any location. Thanks to Augenstein, 2022. Finally, is this for real? Included in the prescription drug provisions in the Senate reconciliation proposal is a game-changing first-time allowance for Medicare to negotiate drug prices with Big Pharma, as well as fines for any drug price hikes outpacing inflation and stiff regulations on maximum annual out-of-pocket costs and co-payments. Thanks to Kubansky, Kaiser Family Foundation, 2022. This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.